magisterial masterpiece theater music and history matters with the one, the only, Mr. Scott Washington. How are you?
Doing good. I'm always tempted to break into a British dialect at this point and say, well, just wonderful. It's just so good to be here.
Oh, that's wonderful. What is happening in the world of history these days?
Well, I'll tell you, today, Thursday, well, it's obviously Thursday, but August 10th is when the game Monopoly was invented in 1933. Well, it was invented in 1933, but the person who invented it, Charles Darrow, was born on this day in 1889. And at first, Parker Brothers originally rejected the game, citing 52 fundamental errors. Well,
which I think a lot of us who have played Monopoly might not necessarily disagree
that's
with.
Right.
Like, I don't know what those errors were exactly. Yeah, but
it did make him a millionaire and a millionaire game designer. And it's now published in 23 languages and a Braille version. More than 200 million games have been sold.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good. Not to mention all of the Monopoly. I don't know if they're knockoffs because I think they're officially sanctioned. All of the like Dogopoly and UNCopoly.
Dukeopoly.
Some of my favorites.
Yeah.
I had Spartanopoly because I was growing up in East Lansing, or near East Lansing, where Michigan State was. We had Spartanopoly,
and that's made a comeback even among.
Oh, yeah.
People who do high-tech designing of software, they're kind of coming back to these because they said they like the connection with other people.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really fascinating.
Definitely.
I love that. Well, it's also today in 1927 when Mount Rushmore was dedicated.
Yes.
It actually wasn't completed until 1941.
So, like, the ground was broken, as it were, on Mount Rushmore, right?
Yeah.
That's a fascinating story, Mount Rushmore.
I know. And my understanding is they were thinking of more of the full bodies.
Oh, yeah, it was going to be a full body sculpture. They had a thing in the back that was going to be like a vault where they were going to store documents or something like that. And then the Depression came, and then the war came after that. So in both cases, there's no funding for a monument. So they just went with faces, and that was it.
Did I hear right that it was because Theodore Roosevelt was a friend of the
pretty
builder?
Much, yeah. he is kind of the odd man out there.
He
like
is.
We think of like Theodore Roosevelt, great president,
that's
but
right.
Is he one of the top four really? Like Washington, obviously.
Yeah.
Lincoln, yes. Jefferson, sure. Not even necessarily for his presidency, but for all of his accomplishments combined. Theodore Roosevelt, like I don't know who number four would be.
I don't know. Well, we might say Franklin Roosevelt, except
but
that
he came later.
That's right.
Right.
So.
Right. And I suppose.
He's at least got a Roosevelt in there.
Yeah, he got a Roosevelt in there, and I suppose like it's better off with Theodore Roosevelt because I mean, sort of thinking back to like who would the great presidents have been prior to 1927?
Yes.
Someone might have been tempted to stick Andrew Jackson up there, and it's probably
that's
all
right.
For the best that didn't happen.
Well, we can also credit Theodore Roosevelt with many of the national parks.
Yes.
So and his interest in bringing publicity into that, and that's been a national heritage, so they're not mining sites.
Yes.
And I think that's a great thing.
Yeah. We're just going to dynamite the mountain and do nothing with it instead of dynamiting it and
exactly.
Take the gold out. Yeah.
On Thursday, well, on August 10th, 1874, is speaking of the Roosevelts, this is when Herbert Hoover,
yeah,
born.
Who we talked about him last week,
that's right?
That's
exactly, yeah, but it's interesting.
Significant figure in American history, except for that 4 years when he was president,
that's
but he didn't do so well.
Also, this is supposedly National S'mores Day.
Yes.
The Girl Scouts were apparently the first ones who actually put it down on paper somewhere.
Yeah.
And
you said it was National S'mores Day. I was going to look it up, but then I didn't bother because today is also National Lazy Day.
That's right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, thank goodness that
I'm
you
I'm just
going to
trust you and move
that.
On.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, this is a kind of interesting week for some technology. 1877, the first voice recording, Thomas Edison on August 12th, which is kind of, what he recorded was Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Yes.
Which I think we've covered that here, too, at some point,
I think
too.
So, yeah. I wonder why Mary Had a Little Lamb, of all the things.
No, I don't either.
Yeah.
This is also the date in 1898 when Hawaii was annexed by the U.S. on August 12th, 1898. Now, it took a little bit longer for it to become an actual state. I believe that's 1958.
58 or 59,
yeah,
something like that.
That's
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
We also have the personal computer. Now, I was kind of astonished at this. IBM introduces the personal computer in 1981, August 11th. Now, is that really that recent?
Probably, yeah. I mean personal computers existed, but were not necessarily super popular. Like specifically the IBM personal computer. Yeah, I can see 81.
That's kind of amazing. Yeah. Think about just the last 40 years, what has developed.
Oh yeah. I remember, like, I still remember going to the mall and like Radio Shack and Babbage's, and I don't know if they had Babbage's down here. They had the new Tandys.
Yes.
There's like Tandy 386s or whatever, and it was a big, huge display. And oh man, like all the power of the future harnessed in this like room-sized computer.
That's right. I remember when I graduated from high school. This will really date me. Uh-oh. My graduation gift was an electric portable typewriter and a dictionary.
Nice.
And I was excited about that. I said, oh, this is all I will ever need.
Yeah. I didn't get my first computer until college. Like, I graduated high school and moving to college. That was when my parents bought me my first desktop computer,
right,
and they got one as well. But all the way through high school, I typed papers on my mom's typewriter.
Yeah,
that was how I did it. And one class project senior year did require some computer, or I guess we were going to do it on computers because it was just going to be easier to do. So I had to go over to my friend Darren's house where he had two computers in his basement, which was such a big thing at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And typed up papers until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was fun.
That would be. Well, you know, August 11th is also the date in 1950 when Steve Wozniak was born.
Yes.
Who is the co-founder of Apple Computer and creator. And again, you know, these are really extraordinary to think about. It's this time period.
Yeah.
When we look at history and historical events, like, wow, since the early 80s?
P.S. That must have been a thumb in the eye to Steve Wozniak, because IBM introduced the personal computer on his 31st birthday.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. I'm
happy
like,
birthday,
what?
Steve. Here's the competition coming out with something that's going to try to run you under.
Well, now, technically, I think it was 1976 when Apple first was coming out, but that's
But still, I mean, they were trying to be in the business of personal computers, and IBM drops this thing in 81 on his birthday of all days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't think that was entirely coincidence either.
Yeah.
I think they were. But there's another thing that happens on the 11th, and especially on hot days, we should all give a word of thanks to Frank Epperson, who was born on that day in 1894. Invented the popsicle.
Yes.
Now, supposedly,
in technology.
Yeah, exactly. And supposedly, he left a mixing stick in a glass of soda overnight, and it froze. And originally, supposedly, called it the epicycle. And I just don't see that. One of those kind of fun.
Although, to be honest, like, why did popsicle take off as the...
I see
where the sickle comes from, because it's like an icicle, but I got epsicle and popsicle.
Yeah.
I could see epsicle potentially
taking off. Supposedly the s'more was, I want some more.
S'more. Yeah.
The frisbee had to do with the pie plates that had that name.
Right.
And the fellow who invented that looked at those and said, oh, well, I'll just call that. He didn't know how to spell it, so he spelled it differently. The name stuck.
Yeah. I can imagine like an alternate universe, because we're laughing now about, oh, we wanted to call it the epsicle. I can imagine an alternate universe where you and I are standing here, but we both have mustaches or something. And like, oh, he wanted to call it the popsicle, but instead they came up with the epsicle, and it really took off.
Think of it differently than the epicycle. Yeah, exactly.
And the schnozwomper over here, he wanted to call it Rubik's Cube. I don't know.
Well, this will get me thinking a lot about that, the alternate ideas. Well,
what takes off.
You know, on a slightly more serious note, it's kind of amazing when we look at history. On August 11th, 1984, is when President Reagan was preparing for broadcast, and the mic was on, and it picked him up jokingly saying, "My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes."
Yeah.
Now, here we are these many years later, and we're having to deal with some rather strong statements.
Yeah. The difference between Reagan and Trump, among others, being that Reagan was joking and didn't realize he was speaking into a hot mic.
Right. Yeah.
Trump is like, hot mic, let me at it. I got some things to say.
It is a certain kind of a this is why we look at history and we study these, because things come up and you go, oh, this isn't the first time that somebody has said something provocative. And I'm sure that it had that.
In this case, I think it was, pretty quickly recognized as a joke.
And
if Reagan got criticized, it was for being too flip about.
That's right.
About bombing, whereas Trump does it now and gets a 2-point bump in his approval rating.
Well, that's right. I think it's we heard there on the CBS News, like the commentator saying not sure exactly how this is going to play out because nobody's ever done that before. Now, I should say that this is also a day, technology-wise, August 7th, 1888, the revolving door is patented by Theophilus Van Kennel. Now, isn't that something, I think, how many places I go, well, maybe Duke Hospital North, they have a big revolving door.
Yes.
There's not a lot of places where you can go into revolving doors.
Hotels, right?
Hotels.
That's the big one.
Seem to be like, I don't know exactly why.
Which is such a weird thing, because so many people have these like giant suitcases or like the pole things behind them. What a weird place to have a revolving door. And yet, that's where it so often
that's
is. And like maybe like professional buildings, like big banks or something like
that.
That's
right. Well, it's always the subject of, I think, Marx Brother movies that the people being stuck or going round and round. 1829, August 8th, the first U.S. locomotive to run on rails was tested in Pennsylvania.
Nice.
Called the Sturbridge Line. Like, what were they doing before?
I was going to say, after a while, it's like, oh, thank God, okay. Let's have some control with these things.
That thing is getting all over the landscape where they were, running on wheels. I'm guessing that this was somebody was trying something, and they said, well, maybe there's a better way to do it.
And all these people were like, man, that locomotive just ran off the rails. And everyone's like, ran off the what now? The rails? Oh, what a great idea. Rails. Yes,
rails.
Let's put this rails
exactly
here. Yes, thank God we've got some rails.
There's another thing that happens on August 8th that does have a kind of a local connection.
Mm-hmm.
On August 8th, 1740, Abner Nash was born. Abner Nash becomes governor of North Carolina in the 18th century, but he was also in Hillsboro. So there is this local connection. In fact, his brother, Francis Nash, becomes this noted general that dies defending General Washington's retreat from Germantown, and consequently is well-regarded. They put up a big arch at the Battle of Guilford County Courthouse, until the cars got bigger, the roads got wider, and then they had to take it down. But there was the Nashes were there in Hillsboro, and he's there, Abner Nash, and he's a delegate to the five provincial congresses, some of which meet in Hillsboro, and also becomes elected governor in 1780. But by 1781, he's frustrated and tired and withdraws. But
seems about right.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that's kind of interesting.
Be in government for a couple of years before you get sick of it.
That's right. But it's also interesting that in on this same day of August 8th is when a Congress in 1786 established the U.S. monetary system.
Yes.
Same year that Abner Nash dies. But I don't think there's a connection.
Probably not. Yeah.
Now this is we've also talked about Alexander Hamilton, so I assume that he was responsible for this.
I don't know what he was doing in the mid 1780s, actually, because that was a couple years before he was Treasury Secretary.
Yeah.
So that was an Articles of Confederation Congress kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know.
Coinage.
Coinage.
So maybe
that's
a little different.
Yeah.
I did come across one document one time that came into the Orange County Historical Museum. A young man brought in something he had bought and wanted it to be authenticated. And it was a document signed by an early governor in the 19th century, but it had both dollars and pounds and shillings on it, which was like,
interesting.
Yeah.
Back when the dollar was just not even taken seriously as currency, and everyone exchanged in pounds and francs.
Which is kind of unusual. Now, I did see that the because of that, the first U.S. dollar bill wasn't printed until 1862.
Yes.
Now, I did not know this, and it didn't bear the image of George Washington, but rather Samuel Chase, President Lincoln's Secretary of Treasury.
Makes sense. Isn't that something? Paper money was, like, we take paper money completely for granted now, but there are so many controversies in American history and rebellions. I think Shay's Rebellion had a little bit to do with the fact that people were being paid in paper money, and they were like, this is just paper. This isn't actual money. Where's the money? And people didn't take paper money seriously as actual cash until fairly recently, surprisingly. Right. Like, what, last 150 years or so, something like that.
We all thought checks would be around, and now it's hard to find a check because everything's electronic.
And now everything is just on a card, right?
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Which is really interesting.
And we think, and what even is money now? Like how, what is the basis for the dollar? Like, what is it? We're off the gold standard. We're off the silver standard. We're just kind of flying in the breeze, which is fun.
Well, isn't it interesting too? The kind of schemes that have been perpetrated by some folks with nefarious ideas to take over computers, hold them ransom, and you have to pay in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So that's not even a dollar. That's something else.
That's something else entirely, yeah. William Jennings Bryan is either real happy or real sad, and I'm not sure which. Probably a little of both.
That's right.
Yeah.
But at least we can be thankful for a couple of birthdays on August 12th. One is Zerna Addis Sharp in 1889, who was born. She created the Dick and Jane primary readers, Run, Spot, Run. See, Spot, Run. This is, I remember those.
Yeah.
Which, and then also in 1859, that's when Catherine Lee Bates was born.
She was great in Misery, wasn't she?
And surprisingly, she also wrote the words to America the Beautiful.
Yes. So Catherine Lee Bates.
Right.
Oh, okay, yes. Yeah. Can we talk about the fact that everyone from The Wizard of Oz was born this week? Jack Haley, who was the Tin Man, Billy Burke, who was Glinda, and Bert Lahr, who was the Cowardly Lion, all born this week in history?
Coincidence?
Yeah.
I think not.
I think
that's really, it is really fascinating. Like, what was the casting call? Can you tell me your birthday?
Oh, it was August. All right,
okay,
you're in.
Well,
great.
Thank you. That's right.
August is Al Frank's birthday.
Yeah. Which is just fascinating to think that how did these people all come together?
Yeah.
And
it wasn't even going to be Jack Haley, right? That was because Buddy Ebsen got cast as the Tin Man, and then the gray face paint gave him an allergic reaction.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, you look at these and I can't imagine without
Jack Haley comes in and takes over as the Tin Man, and poor Buddy Ebsen has to wait, 25 years before the Beverly Hillbillies comes along
right.
and he gets really famous again?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's funny to think about how Billy Burke, who was, when she did that role, she was married also to the fellow who did all the Ziegfeld Follies.
Mm-hmm.
I always think this is an interesting story about the fact that they go on this massive quest when all they needed to do, like Dorothy had to click her heels together. She didn't have to, but sometimes we have to go through adversity to get to that point of saying, oh, yeah, I got this.
Yeah. I still think that if Glinda had told Dorothy at the very beginning, all you have to do is click your heels, she would have believed it, right? She didn't learn anything along the way that told her that just click your heels and you'll get home. It was still Glinda, walking in and saying, hey, do this.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be the same way either way.
But she comes back with so much more confidence by the end of the film. So,
yeah.
Which is, one of those things when we're talking about film. It's good to know that this is the week that marked
this got to be our last one.
Okay, the first movie came out called Queen Elizabeth, starring Sarah Bernhardt.
Yes.
Which is kind of interesting to know that, we're talking about movies, we end with movies, and
there you go.
They make our day. So.
All right. That was History Matters, This Week in History. Scott Washington, as always, thank you so much.
Aaron Keck, thank you, as always.